What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I am flying solo. I'm super excited to talk about this with you today because I think this is a subject that's going to help you, especially if you're struggling with fat loss, and hopefully it's going to clarify things, especially if you're struggling with fat loss. So let's get to it. So I get contacted every single day by people who have questions about their fat loss journeys, and most people are struggling or things aren't going well and they don't know why. And so when they reach out to me, usually the first thing they tell me is, so I'm really struggling with fat loss. I'm not losing any weight. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Here's what I'm doing. And then they proceed to go through their training regimen with me. And what's interesting about that is that they start off and they say, well, I'm strength training 3 or 4 days a week. I'm adding a couple days of HIIT. I now go to Orange Theory a couple times a week, and I'm doing body pump on the weekends. And now I'm starting to train for a 5K. So I'm running a couple times a week too. And they don't, and they say, well, I don't understand why I'm not making progress. And what's interesting about that, and those of you that have been around me enough know where I'm probably going to go with this, but the one thing that they're really not talking about a lot is nutrition. They're talking about training, all about training, thinking that is the reason why they're not losing fat. And so I'd like to use this example with them, and it helps bring things kind of into perspective. When you go on a trip with a friend, if you're in the car, you're driving somewhere and it's you and your buddy, and one of you is driving that car, one of you is the passenger riding shotgun in the car. And let's say you're the driver of the car. It is your responsibility to get that car from point A to point B. It's not your buddy's responsibility because your buddy's the passenger. It's your responsibility as the driver because that car is going nowhere without you. So you have the responsibility of getting the car from where you start to where you end. You and no one else as the driver of that car. If you think of fat loss as a car, I like to call it the fat loss car. The fat loss car has a driver and a passenger, just like you were on your road trip with you and your buddy. The fat loss car has a driver and a passenger. The driver of the fat loss car is nutrition. Because without nutrition, fat loss does not happen. If your nutrition is not in check, you're not in a calorie deficit, you will not lose fat. That's a given. So the driver of your fat loss car is nutrition. Training and working out is the passenger of the fat loss car. Training and working out is what's going to help navigate the way, and it's going to help you get there by contributing. But it's not training's responsibility to get you to your fat loss goals. It's nutrition that's going to do that. And I think when you start thinking of fat loss in that way, things become a little bit more clear. But we never think of it that way. We always seem to go to training first. So why do we do that? Why do we go to training as the thing that must be wrong instead of nutrition? And I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. I think because training is way easier to change. There's no emotion involved with training. You can easily add a class. You could easily add a short run. You could easily add another day of going to the gym. I mean, I don't want to say easily because maybe your schedules or whatever is not easily. But from an emotional perspective, sure, there's nothing you have to really deal with that. You just go and you do something else. It's pretty simple in concept to do. It doesn't tax your emotions. It doesn't require a lot of thought and a lot of sorting through. You just add another day and you go, pretty much. But when nutrition comes on board, that's totally different because now our emotions get tied into this. And now we're faced with having to change something that maybe we've been doing for a long, long time. And we have to face that. And when we have to face change, sometimes that is so scary, it becomes paralyzing. That was my cat, by the way. It becomes paralyzing. It is super difficult to face, super difficult to implement. Trying to change how we eat is way more difficult than adding another class of Zumba during the week. And because of that difficulty and the emotions that are attached to it, we always go towards training first. It's the path of least resistance. And unfortunately, it's the path that we take the most often that's not going to get us where we want to be. We have to tackle the hard stuff. And that's kind of what's not happening in so many cases. When people tell me about their nutrition, after this long list of workouts and things that they're doing, they start talking about their nutrition, and all I get from them is, I eat mostly healthy. I don't understand. And you know, that mostly healthy could mean who knows what. My version of mostly healthy and someone else's could be completely different. But there's usually never talk of calories. And if there is, it's like, well, most of the time I'm about at 1600 calories. Most of the time and about. That doesn't tell me what you're doing. That tells me that there's a lot of wiggle room here. And we have found the problem, that it's the problem that we really didn't want to face, but now we've ruled out everything else and now we're here. It's nutrition. And we found out that the reins are not pulled in tight enough, and we don't really know what we're consuming. And honestly, until we know that, changing that is going to be really, really, changing everything is going to be difficult until we know what we're consuming and get a handle on that. And I think it's interesting because people get scared of tracking calories. People get scared of the amount of work that's going to be there. People get scared of all kinds of things with regards to bringing in the reins, I like to say, on calories and what we're consuming. And, you know, if you don't want to get to tracking calories yet, you certainly don't have to. You could start by literally writing every single thing down that you put in your mouth during the course of a day, whether it's a bite, a taste, a drink, it doesn't matter. Write it down. Because I think that alone, when you start seeing what you're consuming every single day, that will bring around some change just by doing that. And maybe that can lead to maybe a more structured approach with calorie counting, whatever it is. But the point of this is to tell you that our first thought when we're struggling with fat loss needs to be with the driver of the fat loss car, which is nutrition, not with the passenger of the fat loss car, which is training. No matter how much we want training to drive that car, training's not going to drive that fat loss car. Nutrition is going to do that. So we need to look over there and see what are some things that we can implement to make changes there. And then maybe you don't have to add all of those extra workout things to your schedule. Back off of that and focus more on what you're doing with your nutrition. So again, you could start with just writing everything down on a piece of paper that you put in your mouth. Be honest about it and do it every day. And see what happens. What you're going to find is you're going to start to hesitate to put some of those mindless snacks and things that we reach for all the time throughout the course of a day that we don't think about. You will be less likely to have one of those if you know you have to write it down and see it on this massive list of foods that you've put in your mouth that day. That kind of behavior changes where it starts. It's awareness. I've had my son on this podcast, and he's now up to almost 60 pounds weight loss from doing just this, just being aware, and as a result of being aware, making better choices. And then that's been the focus, because he, as a college student, certainly doesn't have time to work out with all those things that I mentioned before. He's working out 2 times a week, if he's lucky. Of course, he walks because he's walking on campus and everything, but he's not working out. But maybe 2 times a week. So change is possible from that. And if you want to dial it in more than that, you can start tracking, weighing, and measuring food. There's lots of paths you can take after you become aware of what you're eating. But I think it's really important to understand that no matter how hard we want to be able to do this, we cannot out-train a bad diet. I think we all want to be able to do that. We all think that, yeah, if we overate, I'll just go and put an extra hour on the elliptical and I'll be fine. And you know what? There's a lot of things wrong with that, and it just never works. And that's perpetuating a bad relationship with food, like from the perspective of, I ate too much the night before, so now I'm going to go to the gym and spend extra 35 minutes on the elliptical to burn it off. That's allowing yourself to believe that you actually did something wrong the night before, that you did something bad the night before, when you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything bad. You had a nice evening. You ate more than maybe what you normally eat. Okay, cool. Hop back on track the next day. That's all. You don't need to punish yourself. You don't need to add extra anything. You don't need to add another day of working out that week to make up for it. There's nothing to make up for. And I think that piece of advice is super important just to keep in mind as you progress. There's no reason to beat yourself up. There's no cause for that. You didn't do anything wrong. And once you can just hop back on track and keep going and see for yourself that that meal out didn't do anything, there was nothing wrong with it, you didn't gain weight, you didn't lose weight, you're fine, then you can keep moving forward. I think the working out piece is the easier piece to want to change. Like I said before, it is the path of least resistance. It also can be a fun thing to change. You know, especially if you like working out, changing up your workouts, maybe adding more can be fun. But I caution the adding more bit, because here's an underlying issue with that. When I hear people tell me, I love to work out, I work out 7 days a week, I have to, I love it, I hate when I can't work out, a little red flag starts waving in my head about that, because I was that person too. I said the exact same thing. For years, I worked myself to death, and I would do two-a-days sometimes. And those two-a-days would not only be like a strength and then a cardio session, but maybe two strength sessions, because I thought more was better. The more I worked out, the better I would be, the more progress I would see. The whole more is better was erroneous, because more is definitely not better. I just got injured more and more and more the more I did. But I did it out of fear. And I was never really honest about that. But underneath all of this, yes, I love it, I love it, I love it, was I'm scared to death that if I don't do it, I'm going to lose progress. I'm not going to make any progress, and I'm going to get fat. That was the honest to God's truth. And I think whenever I hear people tell me how much they love working out and that they're working out so much during the course of a week, I get chills, because I remember that. And I remember feeling the fear of not doing that, that I had to do it, and that I was saying I loved it. And to a degree, that was true. I mean, I did love it, but I certainly didn't love it that much to where I was driving myself into the ground. And the interesting part of that was I didn't have a handle of my nutrition, so I was making no progress at all. I was gaining some fat. I was just working out a lot, getting injured out of fear of what if I didn't do that? And that comes from the more is better way of thinking. The more I do, the better this has got to be, right? Well, the answer is wrong. No, absolutely not. And I tell this story, I've told this particular story several times about when I first started working with Jordan, and he was writing my programming when we first started, and he took me from working out 6 days a week back to 4 days a week. I thought I was going to lose my mind. And I was panicked deep down inside. I wouldn't admit it, but I was panicked that, oh my God, he's taking me down to 4 days a week. What am I going to do? And one of my questions to him was, what do I do in my rest days? And he came back to me and said, you rest. I'm like, what? I can't do that. I have to move. I love to move. I want to da-da-da-da. You know, I just complained and complained. And so to get me to shut up, he told me, okay, Susan, you can go get on a bike or walk on a treadmill or whatever, but don't let your heart rate get over, I don't even remember what the number was, but it was so incredibly low that basically I was going to be not doing much of anything. So I said, okay, great. I'm going to do that. So on one of my rest days, I went back up to the gym, hopped on a spin bike, and did exactly what he said. I kept my heart rate or whatever that number was he gave me, and I was barely moving, and I'm sitting here thinking, what am I doing? This is insanity. I was bored to tears. I felt like I was not working. I was miserable, and it hit me. I said, I've got to stop this. I have to stop this. And I remember texting him that day, and I said, I will never, ever do that again. From this day on, a rest day is a rest day. And you know what? It's been like that since day one with Jordan. He still writes my programming, and I still do that. He took me back from 6 days to 4 days a week. Was that transition easy for me? Oh, no. It was not easy at all. And I started off by being a pain in the butt to him about it. I was like, I can't do it. I was just scared. I was scared to not work out because I was really scared that I was going to really get fat. And I think deep down inside, I knew I already had put on weight. And I thought, well, if I stop working out 6 days a week, I'm really going to put on weight now. And that was scary. But I had to trust in what he was doing. And he let me experience that by saying, yeah, go ahead and get on a bike, but don't let it your heart rate get over or whatever. He gave me that little lead and let me try it because I'm sure he knew what was going to happen. I'm sure he knew I was going to hate it. And I did. And I never did it again. And I've never done it since. So more is not better from the workout perspective. Absolutely, positively not. When we think of fat loss, we want to add more training. That's not where the problem is. If you've been in a calorie deficit and you're not losing weight, by definition, you are not in a calorie deficit. That's it. Now, it's important to find out why. What is it? Are you being honest with what you're tracking? Are you tracking everything? What do your weekends look like? Are you going out to eat a lot? How are you counting those calories? There's a lot of things at play. And then it could be that maybe the deficit number that you thought was a deficit is not a deficit for you. A lot of things to try here. But I encourage you this. Let's talk about the driver of the fat loss car, nutrition. If you've been struggling to lose weight, I challenge you to do this. I want you to write this down because this is super important. I want you to set a calorie deficit for you, take your goal weight in pounds, multiply that by 11 or by 12, and that's your daily calorie amount. I want you to take your goal weight and multiply it by 1, and that is your daily protein amount I want you to aim for every day. The rest of your calories can come from carbs and fats based on your preference, however you want to let them make up the rest of your calories, but that calorie umbrella you stick to. And I want you to be on those two numbers, the goal weight times 1 for protein, goal weight times 11 and 12 for calories, and stick with that for 30 days. Be at least 90% consistent for 30 days. Let's see what happens with that, because I will almost guarantee that if you are that consistent and you are being honest with what you're tracking and bringing and weighing and measuring and doing everything, you will start to see some progress. And I also want you to take pictures. I want you to take measurements. I think having all of those things in addition to the scale, or it's all really, really important data points, and you need them all. Because if your measurements are going down, guess what? You're losing fat. So the scale may not move that much, if at all, but if the measurements are going down, you're doing something right and you need to keep going. So I implore you to try that. If you've been struggling to lose fat, keep your workouts in check. Don't change that. And if you're working out every day, reassess that. There's no reason to do that. You're going to get more benefits from working out super hard 4 days a week than you are working out 7 days a week with crap form, a fatigued body that hasn't been able to recover, all those kinds of things. More is not better in your workouts. Make your workouts better and more effective. So try scaling back to 4 days a week, maybe five, with at least two rest days thrown in there. And then get your nutrition dialed in. Hang with this for 30 days, 90% consistency, if not higher. And let's see what happens. Because the one thing that's really underrated with regards to tracking and how we know if we're on track and everything is, are we actually being as consistent as we think we are? And we are really horrible at estimating how consistent we are being. Invariably, we're not as consistent as we want to think we are. And so by upping the ante with consistency rates, it'll force you into this consistency track. And now you're going to see what being consistent looks like. Because chances are, you're not as consistent with what you're doing as you want to think you are. And maybe you're not tracking accurately like you think you are. So I encourage you to try all of this. I want you to send me a note at the end of your 30 days. Let me know what happened. Talk about statistics and things. And send me what you used, what you did. I'll be happy to look it over and we can talk about whether we need to adjust anything or whether you keep going. But remember, who's driving your fat loss car? It's nutrition. Always nutrition. Always look to your nutrition first because that's where you're going to find your answer. So thank you all so much for joining me today. I hope this was helpful, all about your fat loss car. Please let me know if you have any questions. I would love to help answer them. And if you could, I would so appreciate it if you could go leave this podcast a 5-star review, click subscribe, because that's going to help get this podcast out to as many people as we possibly can. So thank you all again. Really appreciate you all being here. And if you ever need anything, you know where to find me. Take care, you guys. Have a great day.